I'd like you to open that to 1 John chapter 1, please. The first epistle of John at the first chapter. The apostles, as you already know, were ordinary people. We sometimes think that the apostles were these amazing men of the first century. Would you like to know what the occupations were for the apostles? I want to show you that they were ordinary people. Ordinary people called by Jesus to do extraordinary work. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was a tax collecting semi-thief. Matthew worked for the Roman government. Matthew collected taxes from the Jews, put a portion in his pocket, and passed on those taxes to somebody else who would take a portion, put them in their pocket, pass it on to somebody else who would take a portion. And then the biggest portion apparently was going to Rome, we'll say the federal government. You had to pay licenses, you had to pay taxes, you had to pay tolls, you had to pay customs fees. Practical standpoint, if you were a fisherman, you probably paid Matthew just to fish in the Sea of Galilee. Whether you know it or not, there was a fellow by the name of James, another one by the name of John, another one by the name of Andrew, another one by the name of Peter, and they were fishermen. As a matter of fact, folks, there were seven of the disciples that were fishermen. So they all may have been connected to our friend Matthew. And think about it like this. The fishermen were on the lowest of the low of the day. There was really a subsistence living for fishermen. If they didn't catch fish, they didn't sell fish, they didn't have money, and they couldn't eat. But the two common things that most people would have eaten in those days would have been fish and bread. So the fishermen were certainly important. There was another fellow by the name of Simon. He was a Canaanite. He was a Jewish zealot. So when you think about the apostles, I want you to remember that these people were, as one man described them, a motley crew. They probably had some connection with each other, but Simon the zealot was a zealot for the Jews and hated the Romans. So you've got a group of people that the Lord calls to be his disciples. The word disciple, of course, is the word learner. When we think of the idea of learning, maybe we have missed out, but I want you to think with me, as this is what the Bible says, if you are a learner, you're a disciple. That's what the Bible says. So I know that learners, that these people are the ones who, watch this, from the words of Jesus in John 6:45, Jesus said, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me, said Jesus. Here's Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. All thy children shall be taught by the Lord. So I want to begin by saying to you today that the Lord is a teacher. I want you to think of him as the Bible presents him. The Bible presents him as a teacher, among other things. Yes, there is in God the Father. Yes, he is the Savior. There are many things that the Bible describes God, but there is also this term where the Bible uses this idea that he is all of that and he's also a teacher. So I've titled today's message, Learn From Me. Father, I thank you again for your word, and thank you, Father, that you've given this book to us that we might learn you, that we might learn who you are and what you are, that we might learn the truth, that we might listen and respond, because we know, Lord, that you are the teacher. So we pray that, Father, that our hearts today would be receptive, that we would truly be students, we'd be disciples, we'd be learners. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that has written this book. I thank you, Lord, that it is a living book. It's sharp and it's powerful. And sometimes it's very convicting. Sometimes it's very comforting. Sometimes it's very challenging, and I pray, dear Lord, that your word today would be exactly what it is. It would come to our hearts, Father, be alive, that it is. Truth, that it is. Pure, that it is. Blessed, that it is. So direct our hearts, Father, into true worship, we ask this morning in Christ's name. Amen. I'm reading a really, really interesting book by a man named Tim Russert. You might not remember Tim. Tim had an interesting life. He was a moderator of a television program called Meet the Press. He was actually, I think, the moderator for the Meet the Press for some 16 years, passed away in the year 2008, has written a couple books. This is the second book he wrote. This particular one is called The Wisdom of Our Fathers, and is basically a compilation of letters that he received from parents that had read his preceding book. So he wanted to incorporate the things that people said about the parents, in particular about their dads, into this book that he calls it Wisdom of Our Fathers. And what I noticed in the book, it was quite interesting to say the least, and that is you can tell a lot about a father if he's got one thing for his children. It's interesting that not a single note in there recognizes dad as being smart or wealthy. The one thing that you're going to find in Wisdom of Our Fathers is that fathers took time for their children. I want you to know something about God. He's a teacher. I told you he's a savior. I told you he's many, many things. I want you to think about God with me today as he is a father who has all the time in the world for you. Whatever your perception is, I want you to consider with me that your heavenly father is a teaching father. And all of the Lord's students, according to John 6:35, all of the Lord's children are his students. We're learners. All of the Lord's disciples are being taught by him. And a good father that he is, he's got all the time in the world just for you. I want to say to you this morning that God is a devoted father. He is fully devoted to you. I want you to think about that with respect to what we're going to find over here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Find with me, please, the fifth verse of 1 John 1. This then is the message that we have heard of him. Oh, we have a message heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So John is saying to us, I'm bringing a message to you, and the message is that God is light. Right alongside the message that John brings and saying God is light, John places the one thing that has literally changed millions of people's lives, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Of course, we could ask the question, what is your purpose in life? What is our purpose in this human existence? Isn't your life operating according to God's light? Isn't your life operating according to the blood of Jesus Christ? See, so the purpose for life, among others, is for us to, look again at verse number 7, walk in the light, as he is in the light. And the Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen to this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So I want to share with you just a couple things that are on my heart today. I want you to think with me about this first topic that John brings up here, and that is the topic of light. So if you'll note with me that it's found here a number of times in the passage. You see that in verse number 5? This is the message, God is light. Look at verse number 7. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, then you have fellowship. And there's the cleansing. But I want to talk with you first the business about this light. Everybody in the planet, maybe, most people everywhere, maybe not every people, every person on the planet, it seems like almost everywhere you go, this is the most popular verse in the Bible. But I want you to see what it says about the light. Look with me again at John 3:16. This is what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come and men loved darkness rather than light. Is that simple? Is that not plain? You see, the world stands in darkness. The world exists in darkness. According to the scripture, the Bible says the light has come, and yet people love darkness rather than light. Another apostle. Oh yes, John chapter 1. John, again. John said this about Jesus. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The life is the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness understood it not. And here's the Apostle Paul. Why did God call the Apostle Paul? Look at what he says in Scripture in Acts 26. The Scripture says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Would you please agree with me as I'm beginning that darkness is really prevalent in the world around you? The world is dark. I've often heard people talk about the power of Satan, you know, and the things that are happening in our society today. But when it comes right down to it, the world is filled with spiritual darkness, folks. And there's only one light, and that is the person of Jesus. You might think with me a little bit about this, though. I see Paul's command, God's command to Paul, to preach so that people will turn from the light. But do you remember the story in the Bible about the blind man, born blind? The Bible says this in John chapter 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. Listen to Jesus, please. Jesus says these words. He saw the man. The man's blind. And Jesus starts this conversation. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. This is what he says. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, he made clay of the spittle, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, Siloam meaning sent, and he went his way, washed, and he came seeing. Anybody know anyone born blind? personally. Can you imagine being born blind? Can you try to imagine being born blind for just a moment with me? So what's your reality if you're born blind? All you know is what you know without being able to see. That's all you know. But all you know is not all there is to know as far as reality is concerned. If you're blind, there's plenty that you don't know. If you're in the dark, you just don't know. Think about it. If you were born blind, your reality is your reality. But isn't the world full of color? Isn't color everywhere? Could you describe the color of the sky or a flower or a field or your car? Could you describe your eye color to a blind person? What would you say to them if you told them that your eyes were blue? What would you say to them? You see, his reality is what he knows, but that is not the total reality. He needs new eyes to be able to see what is there. That's exactly what happened with this man right here. But folks, God is light. The Bible says he is light. People that have a relationship with God can see what you could not see before you came into a relationship with him. Now, he knows me. He knows me inside and out. He knows me perfectly. He knows my nature. He certainly knows my name. But think about how marvelous it is when a person puts their trust in Christ. The Bible says this man came seeing. When you meet Christ, you are turned from darkness to light. That's what the Bible teaches. So listen carefully. If you're still in the dark, the only thing you can possibly do is to look to the right person. People that are in the dark because of their sin. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But the Scripture says that when you hear the message and you turn your attention to the right person, the Bible says he gives you life and he gives you light, because God himself is light. So if you have trusted in Christ as your personal Savior from sin, listen carefully, folks. You are not in darkness. The Bible says if you have trusted in Christ, look what the Scripture says. Why did Jesus come here? Among other reasons, look at this, Luke chapter 1. To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So I asked myself the question as I was looking at this. I said, well, what was I before I was saved? Where was I before I was saved? Look at what the Scripture says, Ephesians chapter 5. You were formerly darkness, now light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. So what is salvation? Salvation is this. Look carefully at the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:6. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you, folks, if you're saved, there's a huge light shining into your heart according to the Scriptures. If you're saved, there's a huge light, and that light is the knowledge of God's glory as seen in the face of Christ. I'll say to you that God is light. I'll also say to you that Jesus' words are these: I am the light of the world. According to Jesus, he's the light. There's lots of, we'll say, religious leaders. Listen, folks. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus Christ. There are lots of religious leaders. The Bible says it's the blind following the blind. The only ones who have light, listen carefully, are the ones who are connected to Christ. So you're saying, Pastor, that's quite narrow. And we'll say, yes, indeed it is. There's only one person who is the light, and that person is Jesus Christ. Or he was a liar. He said, I am the light of the world. And as you heard me say before, he who follows me, according to Jesus, gets two things. One, no more walking in darkness. And two, you get the light of life. So I want to say to you this morning that your Heavenly Father is your teacher. I want to say your teacher, your Father, is telling you things that you can understand. I'm telling you that, folks. But prior to salvation, you could not comprehend those things. But now that you are in the light, the Bible says, walk in the light because he is light. That's the first thing John tells us. First topic, he says, God is light. Second topic, he says, is the blood. Look with me again at your Bible at verse number 7. The scripture says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this amazing? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, there's two things that will always have a huge impact on a person's heart. One is that God is light. Two, the blood of Christ is the only thing that can cleanse you from your sin. Nothing, folks, nothing can be more important than that. Would you note with me this? How important is the blood of Christ? Now, sometimes when I'm preaching or when I'm teaching, I think I just want you to get the simplicity of the truth. Here's what I want to do in the next couple of minutes. I want you to see with me what the Bible says about the blood of Christ. Look at this. The first thing it says is that we've been redeemed by his blood. Ephesians 1, in whom, that's in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your empty behavior, lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, but redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as with a lamb without blemish or without spot. Listen, folks, I can show you passage after passage in your Bible. The scripture says there's only one way to be redeemed, forgiven. Here's Revelation chapter 5. They sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Would you please note with me that the Bible teaches the only way to be redeemed is to be trusting in the blood of Christ. I met a lady a number of years ago who said these words to me. She says, I won't let my kids go to your church because all you talk about is the blood. That was not true. There were a few other things that I talked about. But when she came, all she heard was the blood of Christ. And she did not like that whatsoever. Listen, folks. The Bible teaches us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If the Bible says that the only way to be redeemed is by the blood of Christ, that's true whether you like it or don't like it. Whether you believe it or don't believe it. It's still the truth. It's still the whole truth. It's nothing but the truth. Number two, we have been made righteous by that same blood. Here is Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood. I'm redeemed. I'm made righteous. I'm made near. Look at this one. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. I tell you, folks, it's marvelous to know that Christ shed His blood on the cross 2,000 years ago, and the shedding of that blood was so powerful in His shedding of His blood was so that I today could be near to God. That's what it says. Now, in Christ Jesus, me, I, who was formerly far off, I'm made near by the blood of Christ. That's not all. You know what else the Bible says? It says you have no peace with God apart from that same blood. Look what the Scripture says. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Would somebody agree with me this morning that the blood is pretty important when it comes to having a connection to God? The blood of Christ is the only way that you're going to have peace with God. You may try a million other things to find peace, but you're not going to find peace with God unless it's through the blood of His Son. I hope it's not confusing. I mean that with all my heart. I hope you understand, folks, that the teacher is saying to you today that the blood of Christ is enough. The blood of Christ is enough. This word cleansing, 1 John 1:7, with all that, the Bible also says this. The Bible says, you are cleansed from all sin by the blood of Christ, His Son. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. For those of you who don't know, I want to remind you that that word cleanses is present and constant. Present and constant cleansing by that blood that Jesus shed 2,000 years ago. It's a constant occurrence that you are being cleansed by the blood of Christ. I'm constantly being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Listen, there's no walking in the light and there's no fellowship with God apart from constant cleansing. You cannot have fellowship with God. You cannot be walking in the light apart from constant cleansing. Think about how amazing this is, folks. Imagine living with somebody who never criticizes you, never condemns you, never finds fault with you. The power of the blood of Christ is just that. When you do sin, and when you confess, the Bible says immediately He speaks to your heart and He says, clean, 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 clean. I live with somebody who does not criticize, condemn, or find fault with me. That is Christianity. When you know the blood of Christ cleanses you from every single sin. You might remember an Old Testament story about the day that Moses began to write down the Bible. The book of Exodus, he starts to write down the things in the Bible. On that particular day, there was animals being sacrificed. And as Moses put these things down, the Bible says something interesting happened. Maybe you know the story, but here it is. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people with one voice said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And he rose up early in the morning, built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Now watch what happened. He sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. Moses took the blood, and the Bible says half he put in pans and half he sprinkled on the altar. That's what the Bible says. He took the blood of the sacrificial animals, and half of it he put in basins, and half he sprinkled the altar. He took the book of the covenant, remember I said he was writing, and he read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. Moses took the blood and he sprinkled the people. And he said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord made with you concerning these words. Would you see with me what's happening, please? The blood was sprinkled on the altar, and the blood was sprinkled on the people. The blood was sprinkled on the altar, the blood was sprinkled on the people. Listen, folks, everything needs to be cleansed with the blood. The whole sacrificial system through the entirety of the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice made, and the blood of the animal was shed intentionally. Think with me about the fact that there's power in the blood. Now, modern ears, it's offensive. We don't want to hear about sacrifices and blood. We certainly don't want to hear about sprinkling the altar and sprinkling the people with blood. But would you take with me what the Bible says as the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Apart from the blood, there is no relationship with God. Jesus said something at the table. Do you remember this? Matthew 26. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them. Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for one reason, for the forgiveness of sins. Can anybody see with me the truth of the blood of Christ cleansing your sins, every single sin? Now, I know there's a lot of important things in your life, folks. But is there anything that's more important than the blood of Christ? Is there anything more important than walking in the light? Is there anything more important than being continually cleansed by the blood of Christ? Listen, the Lord always wants to have close fellowship with us. There's nothing more important than the light and the blood. There's nothing more important than the light and the blood. I belong to Him because He created me. But I also belong to Him because He saved me. I have been saved by the blood of Christ. I have been saved, so I have fellowship with Almighty God. He is the one that loves me so deeply that all the population of the world could love me, and that wouldn't compare to how much God loves me. So if I choose fellowship with God, I am choosing forgiveness, walking in the light, and complete cleansing of all my sins. You neglect fellowship with God, look what you're losing. Look what you're neglecting. It's to your detriment every single time. But to enjoy the presence of God, to enjoy His forgiveness, is to recognize and realize that we are here because the blood of Christ cleanses, present tense, right now, cleanses from all sin. You trusted in Christ? Repented of sin, trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, it's normal to walk in the light. It's normal to be cleansed. It's normal to be forgiven. It's normal. These things go together perfectly. The plain fact is, folks, we need fellowship with God more than we need anything. Interesting that John says a little bit earlier, he says, I'm writing these things so your joy will be full. You know how you get full joy? You know how you get full joy? You get full joy in fellowship with God. That's where full joy comes from. I know there are lots of places we think we can find joy, but the Bible says we find it here. We find it in the light, and we find it in the blood. So fellowship is what John is after. Fellowship is what God desires for you and for me. Fellowship is what life is all about. Someone who loves me so much that he gave his own son to shed his blood so that I could be completely forgiven every single minute of every single day of my life. I'll tell you right now, folks, that your greatest need is for fellowship with God. The greatest thing that can happen to a human being is to have fellowship with Almighty God. Fellowship and cleansing, they just go perfectly together. You don't have fellowship when you don't have cleansing. You don't have cleansing when you don't have fellowship. That's the way it works. I'm here to enjoy Him. I'm here to know Him. His plan for me is that I might know Him. He's my Father, but He's also my Savior. That's what God is after. He created me for a close relationship with Him. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm in the light. Now, I walk in the light. I walk in the light. And as I walk in the light, I am finding this sweet fellowship with the Creator and my Heavenly Father. Listen, He brought you near by the blood of Christ. He redeemed you with the blood of Christ. He made you righteous by the blood of Christ. He provided you peace by the blood of Christ. And so every minute of your day, you can, listen, enjoy constant cleansing from every sin. And when you sin, the Bible gives us the answer, confess, and immediately you are cleansed. What the Bible says. I found this final passage for you over in the book of Hebrews that I want to share with you. Paul says this, of all the stuff that you have to think about, look at this, Hebrews 9. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, watch this, exactly the same word, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God. You know, folks, if there's a verse worth memorizing today, it's Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serving the living God? You see, when Jesus went to Calvary, He paid for your sins. He didn't have any of His own. He had zero sins. And yes, He delivered you from the judgment of hell. Yes. But you know why also Christ shed His blood? He shed His blood so that you would have fellowship with God. So that you would enjoy God for the rest of your life. I'll say to you this morning, the teacher is saying to you this morning, do you know what He says about the light? Do you know who the light is? And then secondly, He says, what do you know about the blood? The light and the blood, they go together perfectly. Sin is gone. Judgment is gone. Fellowship has come. Light has come. Cleansing has come. Now, are you responding to Him? Are you enjoying complete and continual cleansing from all your sins? Here it is. Jesus said it. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you have never trusted in Christ, today is the day. Today is the day, the Bible says, and here is the sinner's prayer. I know I'm a sinner, Lord. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins. I believe on your Son today as the one who paid for all my sins. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life in him. That's the sinner's prayer. But no, you're saved. So what's your prayer? Here's the Christian's response. Lord, I thank you that there's power in the blood of your Son. I take that blood right now for my constant cleansing. I will no more walk in darkness. I will do the truth. I will walk in the light as he is in the light and enjoy the fellowship you promise. Father, you know our hearts. Father, you know how much we need you. You have given us, Father, the best you could possibly give, and that was your Son, and that he paid the complete price. And, oh, dear Lord, I say thank you for that this morning. Thank you that he shed his blood on our behalf. If there is one, Lord, here this morning that has never repented, pray, asking, Lord, today that this would be the day that they will repent and put their trust in your Son and find complete forgiveness. And I thank you for your promises, Lord. I thank you that they are the promises of truth. Oh, dear Lord, that we would walk today in the light, that we would be constantly cleansed by the blood of Christ, as you promised in the Word. I give you the glory, the praise, and the thanks. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.